fall afresh on me. Help me, hold me, help me, use me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me.
Amen. Rick, would you?
Welcome, everybody. As we gather together and worship this morning, Dan's going to be in, I believe, 1 Corinthians 13, the love of God. And as we also plan, Lord willing, to have our evening Zoom meeting tonight, we'll be in the sixth chapter of the book of Esther. The next scheduled hymn sing here is June 17th, a week from Thursday at 7 p.m. So spread the word and all are welcome to sing praises to the Lord. We appreciated everyone visiting yesterday at home to celebrate the Lord's goodness to Hannah over the last 4 years at college. And as she goes off to her career at Hershey Medical Center, we appreciate prayer for her. So, again, welcome this morning. Dan.
If you turn in your hymnals, please, to hymn number 706, Take Time to Be Holy.
Thank you.
a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy, and understand all mysteries, and all knowledge, and though I have all faith that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, and it profiteth me nothing, charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, does not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But then, that when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abide faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. May God bless the reading of His Word. Turning your hymnals to hymn number 460, please.
Lord, have me love thou art.
read from 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 11. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God, and knoweth God. He that loveth not God, for God, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And this was manifested, the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. May God bless the reading of his word. Hymn number 669. Come, let us sing of a wonderful love. Hymn number 669.
Thank you.
something to me before the service. He said that I mentioned it was rather warm in here. And he said there's a group up his way that meets outside. And he says, well, what do you do when it rains? He says, well, there's a pavilion in the park. They meet in the pavilion. So there's a verse in the Colossians 2. Verse 8, it says, beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ, for in him, which referring to Jesus, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. We're not to be deceived. The subject this morning we're dealing with, the subject of the love of God. When we think of the word love, we read in 1 Corinthians 13 about the love of God. We hear that often at weddings and special occasions, but we're not to be deceived by the worldly view of love. Do you ever wonder what the measure of a man or a woman is? It's their love and faith in God. In the body of Christ, we measure the Lord Jesus as our standard of faith and practice, his word. The Apostle Paul had such confidence of the love that he had received from the Lord. He said in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed unto him against that day. You see, without the love of Jesus, it's impossible to know God. We read in Hebrews 11, verse 6, but without faith it is impossible to please God, to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So we know that, as I mentioned, that without love, the love of Jesus, it's impossible to know God. But without faith, it's impossible. Without faith in Jesus, it is impossible to please God. We think about that word, impossible. There's no opportunity, there's no hope of pleasing God without faith in his son Jesus. That passage I read from in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, you know, it's possible that you could be a poet laureate, a master of linguistics, and have not the love of Jesus. You might be a brilliant academic, a who's who in religious academia, a person of full traditional faith, but not if you don't have love. That passage says in verse 2 that you are nothing. Paul said that he was nothing if he did not have love. In verse 3 of that same passage, a person who be sacrificially generous and also be a martyr for a cause. But if that person did not have love, it would profit them nothing. We've got to go beyond the exercising. A mere exercise is something that has to be personal. Christianity is a lifestyle of love. In that passage that I read in 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 11, it's referring to the church, those who are of the household of faith. It's not referring to a building or an organization. It's referring to God's people. He refers to the apostle. John refers to such as the beloved. Beloved. Did somebody come up to you and say, hello, beloved? Mm-hmm. You would that would just move you for someone to say that. This passage was written from a heart of love. I know for many this conversation, this topic is difficult because they know not love. They've never experienced love. They've been deprived of love. The Christians in their community never took the time to share the love of Jesus with them. There's a lot of hurt out there. A lot of sorrow, a lot of grief. Paul, the Apostle John, is not talking to such. He's talking to those who should know and who do know. Verse 7, beloved, let us love one another. This is a letter of encouragement, a word of encouragement. Let us love one another. For love is of God. He's simply a stating of fact. We proclaim, we profess to be of God in Christ Jesus. Let us love one another, therefore, for love is as of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Factual evidence. Jesus said, by the fruit you shall know them. People will know that you are a born-again believer, a follower of Jesus Christ. They will know that you have the love of God. Having genuine love for a fellow Christian is evidence, it's proof, that you're born again and that you have a relationship with God, that you actually know God. There's an old saying that actions speak louder than words. We show love with deeds of love and kindness. Verse 8. He who does not love does not know God. Why? For God is love. To know God is to know personally that Jesus is what the love of God is all about. Often in our conversations with our neighbors or people we come in contact with, we ask the question, are you a Christian? And we're surprised many times with the answers, and sometimes we're not surprised. They tell them, well, we go to so-and-so place, or I'm this, or I'm that, and hide behind some tradition. He who does not love does not know God. For God is love. That's a fact. We need that relationship with God through Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Verse 9. In this the love of God was manifest toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this the love of God was made known toward us. How? That God has sent his Son, his only begotten Son, into the world. We think of that verse that I think we all could quote, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This was made known to us, toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live, through him. What separated us from God in the first place? It was sin. When sin entered into the world, death entered into the world. The scripture says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. We all need Jesus. Oh, how we desperately need him. When we have occasions to meet different individuals that they know our family or they know loved ones that we know, we'll often hear people say, well, send so-and-so my love. Send so-and-so my greetings. God sent and sends his love to you through his Son, Jesus. That's what the scriptures tell us. This day, each one of us know and should know that God sends his love to you through his Son, Jesus Christ. That's an encouraging thought. How important is love? It's all important. Because love, true love, is found and embodied in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. You must know him. See, love brought us into the relationship. We were all walking in darkness. We could not perceive or comprehend the things of God. Love found a way. God so loved the world that he sent his Son to come, to take upon him the likeness of our human bodies, of a man. But he came to die on that cross. Love brought the relationship. Faith delivers the reception. You read earlier in Hebrews 11 that without faith it's impossible to please God. You want to please God today? Come to him in faith. Embrace him with your all. Receive him. Did he not say, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. At your heart's door, behold, he knocks." Why must he knock? What have we put? And what's in our lives? What's blocking that door, the door of our heart? Is it sin? What are you holding on to this day? What am I holding on to this day? When I come under conviction, it's usually under the topic of love, because I look at different ones that I know. Sometimes I don't say the right thing. Say an unkind word. And become convicted that I don't show the love of Jesus as I should. To my neighbors, the scripture, it says we're to love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And we're to love our neighbor as ourselves. When we see our neighbors, do we have a love for them? Does our heart cry for them? Do you desire that they have what you have? That they would receive what you have received, knowing that what you have received you did not deserve, you did not earn. That it's all of the goodness of the Lord, it's all of grace. The love of God was made known toward us. And this is the testimony. How? It was made known to us in his birth, the incarnation. How he left the realms of glory, was born in a manger. In his holy life, the way he lived while he walked here, the spotless Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world. In his death, how he suffered for our sins. How his blood, his precious blood, was shed on our behalf. And his burial, where they laid him. His resurrection from the dead. His ascension into heaven. And also for the present and eternal intercession on our behalf. He ever liveth to make intercession for us. That's a comforting thought to me. That Jesus, in this hour, he pleads for me. He pleads for each one of his. And all of his are known to him. The scripture says, Jesus said, all the Father has given me will come to me, and he that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out him out, that person out. To have this love, to be partakers of this love, to be joint heirs with Christ Jesus, the lover of our souls. How would your neighbors measure you? How would your family measure you? The measure of a man, the measure of a woman, is their love and faith towards God. Do they see a closeness to Jesus in your conversation, in your actions? You say that's a convicting thought. Of course it is. It's a convicting thought. Whom the Lord loved, he chasteneth. Isn't that sweet? How the Holy Spirit convicts us when we err. Why does he do that? Because he loves us. God loves us. Isn't it wonderful to know that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness? Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
The forgiveness of sins. See, if we're left in our sins, if we die in our sins, we perish. What can cleanse me from my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. His blood was not shed in vain. How precious is that flow, that crimson flow, the blood of Jesus that cleanses us from all our sins. How precious we are together here. We're together in a building. But that's not the church. The church is the people. Maybe we'd be that like that group that has to meet up outside. There might come a day when that will happen. Thank God for the country in which we live. We have these freedoms. Freedom to assemble. How precious. We were endowed by our Creator with that right. We know it to be a gift from God. In this love, verse 10, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation, the satisfaction for our sins. Separated. God is holy. He has no tolerance for sin at all. He cannot, because he's holy. Zero toleration for sin. We have to be thoroughly cleansed. In this is love, that we love God. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. What sadness it would be to go through this life and eternity separated from the love of God. Now just think about that statement. There are many of our neighbors, and even our loved ones, that do not Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And they are separated from the fellowship, the blessings, the joy that we know in Christ Jesus. And that's a sadness that we all, each and every one in the body of Christ, should feel. But imagine then, in the next breath, to be separated for all of eternity from the love of God. We're in a neighborhood. There is a representation from the neighborhood, a new representation. Thank you for coming today. Of this neighborhood. Some were, not all were invited. Actually, all are invited. But I mentioned some, and they turned the other way. When we turn from Jesus, turn from what we know to be true, we don't only hurt ourselves, but we hurt our neighbors, we hurt our loved ones. Verse 11, behold, beloved, if God so loved us, we know that he has in Christ Jesus, we also ought to love one another. 1 Corinthians 13:13. But now abideth faith, hope, love, these three, the greatest is love. I was thinking, and a question came to my mind. The only way to love a spiritually dead person is to believe in the power of the resurrection. We wonder sometimes, how can we reach our neighbors? Maybe if we have a soup sale, open up a soup kitchen, bake some cookies or something. Now that's not to be laughed at. I think we should show hospitality to our neighbors. But they need to know Jesus. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. I am the resurrection. I am the one who conquered sin and death. For up from the grave I arose. The grave could not keep me. The power of the resurrection is the power over sin. The power of the resurrection is victory for our everyday lives and for all eternity. Jesus said, the great I am said, I am the resurrection and the life. I read from that passage in 1 Corinthians 13:1-13. I mentioned earlier that we're not to look at this passage in a worldly point of, from a worldly point of view. We see in this passage the hard work that's involved in the Christian lifestyle of love. Christian love requires commitment, sacrifice, and service. Commitment, sacrifice, and service. It's not you merely walking up an aisle and saying or repeating after the words of a minister. It's having that heart that has been changed, that has been washed by the blood of the Lamb. And you know that you know that you know, like the Apostle Paul said, I know who I have believed. And I'm persuaded, he was fully persuaded of that. A Christian lifestyle is love in action. It's love in action. And it's beneficial to both the giver and the receiver. Did you ever think about that wonderful truth that you were not created for your own glory, but you were created for God's glory? We were created for God's good pleasure. You were created, God created you, God created me because he loved me so much. He created me for his benefit, which is a blessing and a benefit to me, of eternal consequence. It is a shared effort. It is a shared benefit. And it is a shared blessing to all of this precious household of faith of which we partake of in Christ Jesus. All endeavors outside of the love of God are of no heavenly value at all. We rang the bells this morning. This passage in 1 Corinthians 13, it talks about the ringing of bells. The ringing of bells and chimes are of little value in comparison to the love of God which lasts and which has eternal value. A neighbor, person in the neighborhood said to me, they love to hear the ringing of the bells. We need to hear the ringing of the bells of heaven in our hearts. Does that love of Jesus chime within your heart? In the chambers of your heart, do you have that love? Does it echo that sweet melody, that sweet refrain? Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus. How sweet the name of Jesus is to the believer's heart. The gifts of predicting the future, some claim to have that. The ability to solve all of life's mysteries. Some and even enough faith to remove mountains. Yet, if these things be done outside of the love of God in Christ Jesus, the total sum of them in the light of eternity would amount to nothing. Giving up all one's earthly possessions to feed the poor, even be willing to be burned at the stake, yet without the love of God as one's ambition and motive in life, such sacrifice would profit you nothing. Paul says that without Jesus we are nothing. In him we exist and have our being. There's life even in a blade of grass. It's all around us. It's in all matter. And without Jesus, without the love of Jesus, nothing matters. Because he makes the difference. He's the reason why you came today. He's the reason why you have hope. He's the reason why you love one another. Let us consider, what are the characteristics of Christian love? The first one out of the box. The love of a Christian is kind. I'd like to be more kind, more like Jesus. The love of God is kind. The love of God does not have to compete with this world for attention or approval. You see that with children, they compete for attention and approval. You see that within organizations, religious organizations, there's a competition for attention and approval. That's not the love of God. We've got the biggest building. That's not right. The love of God does not have to compete for this world's attention or approval. Love does not envy anything this world has to offer. Christian love, Christians, followers of Jesus Christ, seek the approval of God. Period. The approval of God, the blessing of God, that's what we seek. What is our purpose in life? Our purpose in life is to honor God, to bring him glory, to live for his glory. We seek not our own. The love of Jesus Christ seeks the approval of God. Jesus said himself, not my will, but thy will be done. It's not having it my way. It's doing as Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. If we love God, we'll do it Jesus' way. We'll do it God's way. We will take and simply take him at his word. Like Jesus, Christian love is long-suffering. I've seen long-suffering in the body of Christ towards me. A brother or a sister in the Lord showing forbearance and putting up with me when I don't act like I should. But our Lord Jesus is the perfect example of that. Oh, how we've been a disappointment, the things we have done. All sin, no matter how trivial you might think it might be. But he cares. He cares enough to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Christian love does not brag about human achievement, or does it exaggerate its value of self-importance? Verse 4, love is not puffed up. That's a human trait. to brag about your achievements. I did this, I did that. Does not exaggerate its value of self-importance. There were to be fishers of men, but boy, the fish stories that we heard. Nor does it exaggerate the value of self-importance. Love is not puffed up. Love does not verbally abuse another's personal feelings. Love is not rude. Got to put a check mark there. Now, sometimes we have to get in somebody's face. You know, when you kiss somebody, you have to get in their face. But we're not supposed to be unkind. Sometimes we have to say some things to get the person's attention. But we should never, the love of Jesus should never intentionally abuse another one's feelings. For love is kind. Verse 5 explains some of these attributes of Christian love. Love is not selfish or greedy. It's not me first, it's Jesus first. And those of Jesus who put the needs of others before our own. That goes against human tradition and inclination. It does not seek its own at the expense of others. Have you ever gained something at the expense of another person's loss? That's not right. The wonderful thing about Scripture is that we all come under conviction when we read it. So if you're here this morning and you think you have everything under control, you have my condolences. For you know not love, the love of Jesus. Because the Scriptures admonish us, God admonishes, to be holy as He is holy. Thy dross to consume, thy gold to refine. Temptation, persecution renders his dross. We are his jewels, his precious jewels. Love is not easily offended or provoked. It's not thin skinned. I've received phone calls. Individuals call me up and say that thought maybe they hurt my feelings. That's Christian love. When you're concerned that maybe you said something that offended somebody and the person took no offense. That's the working of the Holy Spirit in that person's life. And that's something to rejoice in. Love is not easily offended or provoked. Love does not dwell upon evil, thinking no evil. Doesn't keep track of wrongdoing. The love of Jesus is like that old hymn, stayed upon Jehovah. And when our hearts are stayed upon Jehovah, our hearts are fully blessed. Christian love does not rejoice in or celebrate iniquity, sin. What does the love of a Christian do? Each Christian's love rejoices in the truth. Rejoices in the truth of the Scriptures. In the truth that Jesus loves you. We sing that song, the children sing that song. In the ministry at Elmcroft, if you had asked, if there was a time when you would ask, what's your favorite hymn? They'd say, Jesus loves me. Isn't that wonderful to know that we walk around in our everyday lives to know that wonderful truth that Jesus loves me? Not all your neighbors can say that. Jesus loves me. Sin is not cute. We treat sin as if it was cute. It's harmless. Sin is not cute. Sin is detrimental to your health, not only physically, but spiritually. It is not cute. And Satan is not a kitten to be petted. Scripture refers to him as an angry lion, a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. You give him an inch and take a mile. He'll destroy you. He'll bloody you up. He'll hurt you. He'll harm you. He could care less. Positive attributes of Christian love. Love delights in good thoughts. Love delights in good words. Love delights in good deeds. Love's motivated out of an obedient heart to our Lord Jesus. Love knows. Love keeps and protects. Love bears all things. We're kept in His love. Love keeps and protects us. Bears all things. Love knows what God can do. Isn't that wonderful? Believes all things. What God can do. Love knows what God can do. Love is optimistic. Hopes all things. We should be optimistic people because we have a blessed hope. People were willing to walk to their death for the cause of Christ because they knew in the power of a greater resurrection. They knew that what was before them. When we grieve, when we lose a lost one, we don't grieve as if there's no hope, because we know that to be absent from the body is to be in the presence of Almighty God. Love hopes all things. Love is optimistic. Love survives under any and all conditions, endures all things. That's an encouraging thought. Are you? God would not put us through anything more than what we can bear. But always know this, that if your trust is in Jesus Christ, you can survive any and all conditions, any and all circumstances that come before you. You sound pretty confident there. Not in my flesh. I have no confidence in my flesh, but I have confidence in the one that's called in. I am persuaded that He is able to keep. I am persuaded that He is faithful, that He would never leave me nor forsake me. It's not in my ability. It's not in my strength. It's all in Jesus. And we can all say that all that profess His holy name, that we know, and the record shows that God's never failed. He's never failed you. You fail Him, you can write books on it. But God has never failed you. He cannot fail you if your trust is in Jesus. And now, abide faith, hope, love, these three. The greatest of these is love. The Christian life is blessed with wonderful gifts. Jesus said, before He ascended into heaven, He said, I'll send you a comforter, someone to help you, His Holy Spirit. So let's consider just for a moment the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5, verses 22 and 23. The fruit of the Spirit is love. The fruit, the benefit of the Spirit is joy. Peace. Long-suffering. Kindness. Goodness. Faithfulness. Gentleness and self-control. How precious. I hope that you love and have the love. Love for one another and the love for Jesus Christ, the one who is the lover of our soul, the one who blesses us in ways beyond we can fully comprehend and imagine. I think we will sing a cappella of the last hymn. It's hymn number 632. 632.
Amen. Thank you, Dan. Before I do that, I want to say also that we do not follow a liturgical calendar as such. And although Dan and I do not pre-plan or coordinate the subject of our messages, the Spirit of God does that. And some of you will recall that last week we looked at the opening verses of chapter 10 of the Epistle to the Romans together. And Paul expressed his desire for the salvation of his fellow countrymen. He acknowledged their zeal for religion. And we live in a world that has a zeal for religion. They have their own ideas of what pleases God and what is acceptable to God. But Paul knew from his own experience that religious ritual, religious zeal is worthless apart from the love of Christ. He came to a personal experience of that love for Christ on the road to Damascus. He was confronted with his own hollowness, the shallowness of his religion, and he came to a conviction of the sin that he had in his heart, despite all of that ritual. He needed the love of Christ. And we need the love of Christ. Even as that last hymn, Christ only always living in me. Jesus Christ was the end of the law. Not that he abolished it. Not that he abrogated it. But that he completed it. He fulfilled it. He said, I come not to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. And he applied it, not just an outward list of do's and don'ts, but in thought, in word, and in deed. And he writes his heart, he writes his law on our hearts. He enables us to be like him, to be holy as he is holy. And thus we, too, as we, whether we gather together in the assembly of the saints, or whether we are in our workplaces, in our communities, in our families, wherever we may be, we are to show forth the love of Christ, to be the salt and light of the world, to serve him and him alone. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the love that you've shown us, for greater love has no man than he who will lay down his life for his friend. And we thank you that you have called us to be your friends, that you have bridged that gap that was caused by sin, the fall of Adam and Eve, whereby sin and death entered the world. But we thank you that you have given us the second Adam, our Savior, our Lord, our Master. We pray that you would help us to show forth that love of Christ, to proclaim your holiness, to proclaim your truth, that others might come to a saving faith, that they might be convicted of sin, that they might flee the wrath to come. And that your will would be done, that you would show forth yourself to be the light of the world. For we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance and give you peace.